Hello, and welcome to The Parting Shot, your dose of everything pop culture. I'm H. Allen Scott. There's something charming about the actor Josh Hutcherson. You know what I mean? You know who I'm talking about. You know him from The Hunger Games, or my personal favorite, The Future Man series, which was just so weird and so perfect. You really need to watch it. But I've chatted with Josh a few times now, and I always leave our conversations feeling A, like I just spoke with someone way cooler than me, and B, that we're friends, which, I mean, is the mark of a movie star, right? But we're not friends. Let me just make that clear right now. But he makes you feel that way. It's like that charm. And I know I'm not alone in feeling this way because the internet is just as charmed by him. I mean, there is a literal picture of him licking his phone that has become the go-to meme to indicate thirst or whenever you're turned on. You gotta Google it because it's one of the best pictures I've ever seen of any celebrity ever. And when the internet reacts to you in that way, you have career longevity. Like, they love you. They will always be there for you. Speaking of his career, one thing is for sure about Josh Hutcherson. He isn't going to do anything that you think he should do. He could have gone on to do roles that are similar to The Hunger Games, you know, big movies, franchise stuff. But instead, he focused on doing different stuff, more unique and sometimes, yes, weird. And his two recent projects are indicative of this. I mean, they're diverse. His resume is so diverse. The first one we're talking about and we chat about today is The Beekeeper, which frankly is just fun. He plays this like evil crypto billionaire conning elderly people out of their savings. And he has to contend with Jason Statham, who's a beekeeper out to get revenge. I mean, the whole premise is wild, but it is such a fun movie. It's not the normal movie that I would be into, but I had so much fun watching it. And his other recent film, which was the hit Five Nights at Freddy's, it's based on a popular game, and it's about this guy down on his luck who takes a job at like a Chuck E. Cheese type arcade as a security guard, and things get very weird. It had a huge opening, and currently it's streaming on Netflix. You really should watch it because it's one of those horror movies that is accessible for all types of people because it is PG-13, but it's also just like weird. And our conversation about it, about both of these films, is just fun, actually. And I had to bring up to Josh, even though I know he knows this, he's not on social media a lot, but I had to bring up to him that gay Twitter in particular is obsessed with him. And I even showed him AI pictures of him that went viral on social media that are just so absurd. I don't like AI, but this moment in AI was actually very fun. So, you'll hear it. It's a fun chat. You're going to be so charmed by Josh. I just know it. You're going to be as charmed as I was by Josh. So let's get into it. Go on and grab a snack because I'll be right back with Josh Hutcherson.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hello, it's nice to see you again. We spoke.
Yeah, likewise.
A couple years ago, I forget what the project even was that we spoke about, but it's been a while.
It's been a while. This is my first interview that I've done in quite some time.
Yeah, I was going to say that because I've been talking with, I mean, I'm friendly with your team and I love them and they're very nice. And we've been talking for months because of the strike and hoping that like once the strike ended, we could talk about, Five Nights and all these different things. But of course, it just kept going and going and going. How does it feel to be back talking about your work?
It feels really good. You know, it's funny, like obviously I've been doing this job for many years and I definitely have... like many actors, press has never been like my favorite thing in the world. And it's like this part of the job that's like part of it, but you know, it's not why you do it. So in a way, when the strike was happening and I couldn't do press at first, I was like, oh wow, this is kind of nice. But then as it was getting closer to the release of Freddy's and stuff, it started to feel very weird. And I was like, I need to tell people, I need to talk about this project. And I realized how much of a part, of what I do, it is telling people about it and doing interviews and talking about the process and the character and the world and everything. And I realized how much I missed it. Yeah. And so it's nice to be able to talk about things again.
Cause it's kind of, I mean, in a weird way too, especially for a movie, like, I mean, we'll talk about, I have questions about Five Nights, but like, I was going to start with Beekeeper, but one of the things I was thinking was like, you know, it's such an interesting film and it's funny and it's a horror film and all these different things that like, you kind of want to be a part of the conversation. That's the fun of the movie, is that it's a fun movie to talk about, you know?
Absolutely it is. And I think too, like with the FNAF world, like, you know, the fan base is rabid with that. And then, you know, to be able to kind of talk with them about it and engage with that kind of fan base was something that I was robbed of, rightfully so, because we had, you know, important things to get done with the strike and everything. But you know, I'm happy to be able to talk about it again. And obviously Beekeeper as well. That was a crazy experience. So that's I did a few fun things.
You did.
I'm excited to talk about. Yeah.
So, well, Beekeeper. Let's start with Beekeeper. So I'll admit it's not. I mean, you know, I'm one of those people that like I'm like the gay dude who goes to Disney movies. So like the Beekeeper necessarily is not necessarily the one that I think about. Although when you see the cast, I'm like, oh my God, like this is actually kind of fun and like interesting in a way. And the premise of it is so wild and so sort of like something I had never really thought about. For a movie, what about it did you respond to?
I mean, I responded to a few elements of it. You know, I think that number one, I think David Ayer is like an insanely talented director. And I think that he does really wild stuff where he really walks a fine line tonally with making things that resonate emotionally and are grounded in some truth, but then also are very heightened in the action world and absurd. And so working with him, you know, was a big draw for me. And then I think the idea of like an older lady getting scammed by some internet troll and then Jason Statham coming out of retirement as a beekeeper to like hunt down the people responsible. That's like, that's a batshit idea for like a movie. And so I think that for me, it was fun to kind of be a part of something that was elevated in that way. And then also to get the chance to play a character that's not, I'm not the first guy you would call a lot of times to play this sort of out of his mind billionaire drug addict crazy villain. So for me, kind of getting that opportunity to step out and do something different like that was a big draw as well.
I mean, the sort of, you know, the relatability of the story actually is what is sort of fascinating to me, is because like it is you're right, it's batshit in a way. Like the premise is batshit, but also how many of us have wanted to like get revenge when we hear that story of someone taken advantage of, or of like a big company coming after someone and like, you know, hurting the little guy kind of thing. Like there's a bit of a populist sentiment to the film in a way, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the crazy thing is this actually happened to my great grandma.
Really?
Like, my great grandma had like a hardcore scam that basically like it's a very long story and very funny, but long story short, someone had called my great grandma pretending to be my little brother and pretending that he had gotten put in jail because he got pulled over after having too much champagne at a wedding and he needed bail money to get out of jail. And so they convinced my 92-year-old grandma to get in her car in Kentucky and drive to Walmart at like midnight and buy a bunch of like Apple gift cards and then like scratch them off and give like over. And it was just like, it's so messed up. And then my poor grandma called my brother and was like, I can't keep this secret any longer. My brother's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh no.
And I was like, yo, grandma's ride or die though. Like she was like, I got your back. I will go to Walmart at midnight and buy the gift cards to bail you out. But it was just like, yeah, of course we like that kind of stuff pisses anybody off that has a heart. And Jason Statham is the wrong guy to piss off in this situation.
Yeah, totally. And also, I mean, if I was in your family, I'm sorry, like your grandma sounds amazing and she is ride or die.
Oh, she's incredible.
I feel like I'd call you first though. I feel like if I was running a scam, I'd probably call you first. But still.
That's what my brother said too. He's like, Josh, we know that if something like that ever happened, you're the first call. I'm like, yeah, I get it. No. But also, I love that grandma felt there's like a beauty. It's just when people play on emotions and mental facilities and that kind of thing, it's messed up. Obviously, any kind of scamming is messed up. But when you attack the vulnerable,
I get it.
If I was Jason Statham, I would, you know.
Totally.
I'd handle this situation differently.
Well, and that's the thing is that, like, I mean, not to be crude or anything, but the people who do that are like literally the assholes of the world. Like, they are the scum of the earth in terms of taking advantage of people like your grandma and other people. And in the film, what's so exciting with Jason, but also just sort of like seeing your interactions and how sort of evil you are in situations too, it's satisfying to see, like, you know, someone just do something about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, to really go after someone in that way. I mean, did you respond to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, anytime you get like a clear villain and a hero, maybe, you know, he does some things that are questionable, but when you have the clear villain and you want to see that guy or girl taken down, you know, it is very satisfying to feel we can create a world in cinema where it's clear who the bad guys and the good guys are, and we can make the bad guys get taken down. And that does feel really good as an audience. And it feels like there is some form of justice in this crazy world that we live in.
Especially right now. It's nice. Especially right now. Like, movies like this, absolutely, I think, are exactly what we kind of want to be seeing. Because I want someone to be taken out. You know what I mean?
I want some form of justice, whatever that looks like.
Give it to me in any way. No, but how did it feel? Because you haven't done a lot of like evil characters before. Like, I mean, I know evil's really fun to play. I mean, I interviewed Melissa McCarthy and she was like, playing Cruella is incredible because it's just fun to be evil. But like, did you respond to that? Like, did you have fun being evil?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a great time being evil. I mean, I think, too, like, Derek's brand of evil is very specific. And, you know, when I first came on board to the project, I was talking with David Ayer about the character. And originally, Derek was written as this, like, you know, three-piece suit, very buttoned-up, dapper kind of criminal. And just in conversations with David and sort of his take on me taking over and becoming Derek, we sort of leaned into this quasi like crypto bro tech douchebag kind of character that, you know, it's a very specific kind of bad guy that I haven't really seen portrayed before. And so that was really fun to get to sort of explore that and build that out with David.
Yeah, definitely. And also, like, just working with like Jeremy Irons. I mean, there's like so many incredible, I mean, Jeremy Irons, like, come on. Like,
it's pretty crazy.
Like, that's not Mufasa, whatever he was in Lion King. Like, that's scary. Yeah. Like, he's scary.
Scar.
Like,
Scar.
He's scary, you know? Like,
no, he is. And it was fun too for me because, you know, in this movie, the dynamic is very much like I kind of boss him around and, you know, treat him like shit. And that's, you know, it's fun to get to go to like a powerhouse actor like Jeremy Irons, and you're the one that's like wearing the pants in the situation kind of thing. So that was a lot of fun to get to play with, for sure.
Are there, I mean, you have a history with like action films and like these kind of movies, but like when you go into a film like this, do you immediately go, am I going to have to work out? Like, do you immediately start getting like a little sort of like, I want the job, but kind of thing? Cause that's how I would respond.
Yeah, I mean, not for this. You know, I think that Derek was not a very...
You didn't have much.
His physicality. Yeah, his physicality wasn't a big part of it. You know, I wasn't running around and shooting up people and doing all kinds of fight sequences. You know, there's kind of, for me, there was one big, you know, action sequence, really. But in general, I look forward to the physicality of roles. And you know, right now, like, health has become, in the last couple of years, just like a super priority for me. And it feels really good to just be prepared and ready for whatever roles or whatever life might throw at you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even with something like this, it's like, even if you're not doing much, just sort of the scope of an action film. I mean, it's just bigger on a lot of levels. You know what I mean? It just feels like bigger than like an emotional drama, if you will. So like that seems like a different sort of even just acting experience.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. I mean, you know, I kind of approach all of the movies that I do and shows that I do from a similar place and process as an actor. But I do think, you know, for example, there's a very long sequence in this film at the end of the movie. And it's kind of like three scenes that we sort of shot all as one, because it sort of cuts away to other moments, then cuts back to our scene. And those were like, you know, 15-minute long takes. And that was physically exhausting because my character is in like a crazy state of spiraling and becoming violent and more agitated. And like after a 15-minute take of that, and David would, you'd be like, okay, no cut. Let's like go back to one, reset. And you're just like, I'm about to pass out, man. Like it's, you know, it's intense, but it really forces you to find other ways when your physicality can't take you there. You have to kind of find new performance entrances and stuff. And so it's very challenging, but it's a big scope for this movie for sure. It's a big one.
Definitely. Well, the other film that like I was kind of obsessed with, we talked about it a little bit, was Five Nights at Freddy's. It was, I was so excited when I was talking with your team about interviewing you for it, if the strike had ended. And I was really excited to sort of just see the film. It's just one of those films that I love because there's a picture of me as a kid, I think at my birthday party, and it's just me alone in a scary Chuck E. Cheese situation where these animatronics are just behind me and I'm just there with a balloon and a teddy bear and it's just me alone in
that's
a Chuck
creepy.
E. Cheese. It is creepy, but it's my favorite photo of me.
That's good.
But what about Five Nights did you like so much? And were you like surprised at how popular it became when it came out? Like it exploded.
It really did explode. What I loved about when I found out about Five Nights at Freddy's that I thought was really cool and interesting was I've always loved horror and that kind of genre and whatnot. But I think that the video game has such a broad audience of an age range that there's a way that this could have kind of been an introductory horror film for a younger audience in a way. It's PG-13. It's not rated R. Do you have like an audience that doesn't get exposed to like fun, engaging horror that can kind of get, you know, gently brought into the genre through this film? So I thought that was really cool. And then also just when I started reading up on, cause I wasn't super familiar with the game and, you know, I didn't play it and I'm not much of a gamer myself, but when I started like reading into the rabid fan base and like the lore that fans create and how many games there are in this crazy world, it was like, oh wow, that's a big responsibility. Like this is a lot to, you know, there's a lot of pressure on this, but thankfully, you know, with Blumhouse, with Emma Tammy, our writer director, with Scott Cawthorn kind of behind all of it. We had an amazing team. And so for me, one of the things that I was really happy to see that they did was we did real puppetry. It wasn't CG. It was actual puppetry that Jim Henson Studios did. And they were amazing. And as an actor to get to actually have something physical to interact with and react to, it's a game changer as opposed to just green screen, or even in today's world, a lot of times they'll just say, there's going to be a monster here.
Yeah.
And there's just absolutely nothing. So, you know, it was really cool how that all was executed.
How terrifying were the actual puppets? Because they looked terrifying, the puppets.
You know, it's the puppets were funny because in one hand, and this was the goal. In one hand, they wanted them to seem likable and approachable because my younger sister in the movie, she like wants to be friends with them. So they couldn't on face value be overly terrifying, but in the right lighting with the right stunt actors inside and the motion and the movements, it becomes creepy as hell. Yeah. So it's like finding that right balance. And I think that they did a really good job kind of walking that line.
Well, I've always said like, if you're at Disneyland and like Daisy Duck's walking towards you in a weird way, it could be terrifying. Like it could, you know, like there's a chance that Daisy Duck could take you out. And that's kind of terrifying.
They're big.
Her shoes are huge.
Shoes are massive. Yeah. And those animatronics, I mean, you have large stunt people inside of them, but then, you know, the tops of their heads are, I want to say like 7+ feet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're big creatures and it's intimidating. It took a lot of like choreographing and blocking to really feel comfortable in the space with them, because if they bump into you or they fall over, you're getting like, squished.
They're
legit.
You're getting taked out. Had you, I mean, you're a fan of horror, right?
Yes.
Had you like going into this, like what sort of, I mean, you can't really prepare watching horror movies, but like what were your, because anyone who listens to this, who's going to be, they want to know your go-to horror movies. Like they're going to know what you loved growing up about horror.
Yeah. I mean, I think what I've always loved about horror, I love anything that scares me. I love watching horror films, but I also love going to like Halloween horror nights. Oh, and I like the feeling that you get of just the jump scare, the adrenaline rush, all of that. I mean, I Alien is one of my favorite movies. I think that it's amazing. I've always loved the kind of older, the Nightmare on Elm Street, the Suspiria, the old school one. I don't know, there's also one that I loved, I love Mandy.
Mandy. Mandy
was great.
Yeah.
And then I watched the other one of that same filmmaker, the Under the Black Rainbow. Mm. And there's, I don't know. I like weird stuff. I love that movie. Raw was really cool.
Yeah.
I like just kind of weird and dark, even like movies. Like I would even say, what's the Gaspar Noé dance one?
Oh,
was,
I know which one you're talking about. I can't think of the name.
Not Into the Void's amazing, but yeah. There was, what was it called? Anyways, like that, like it's horror, but it's like horror. It's not horror. It's like adjacent to horror that just gives you like a very intense feeling.
There is something about,
it's really fun.
There's something about that adjacent to horror. Like even for me, like watching Parasite, for example, like Parasite, it's a comedy kind of, but it's actually terrifying. If you think about it, of someone living in your house, like downstairs and you don't know it. For years, like years. No. I mean, that,
it's messed up.
That's scary as fuck. Yeah. That is so scary. Yeah. So like films
it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I also love, psychological thrillers when you have characters descending into madness.
Yeah.
I love like The Machinist from, Christian Bale back in the day. And I don't know, like those kind of like, I think one of the movies that really sparked my interest in being an actor was Donnie Darko.
Oh yeah.
That was one that I really like connected to when I was younger. Probably saw that movie way too young, thanks to my parents that allowed me to watch kind of anything. Yeah. But
what was it about Donnie Darko?
I think first of all, like Jake Gyllenhaal was fantastic in it. Jenna Malone, Seth Rogen's first movie, which is funny, he's in there. The world that was created felt, even as like a young kid when I saw it, I felt like I related to this dark, quasi questioning existence, nihilistic almost perspective. Yeah. As like a young kid, I was just always drawn to like that sort of way of thinking. And I empathized a lot with his character and trying to ask the whys in a world that was like, had this construct they're supposed to follow. And, you had like the school and their rules and the teacher and the psychiatrist and all these things telling you things have to be this way. And I've just always been a very curious kid and being like, but why? Yeah. Why? And so I think that movie fed that curiosity in a way and made me be someone I was like, oh, I can ask why, because Jake Gyllenhaal is asking why in this movie. And so I think that always, that curiosity has been a big driving element for me for my entire life.
It's so interesting you mentioned Donnie Darko, just because one of the things that I think is so fascinating about your career, I mean, I think, we're roughly around the same age and I've sort of watched you sort of go from Hunger Games to where you are now, and how Hunger Games could have taken you in a direction, a very different film direction in terms of sort of like focusing on leading man stuff and like, the big stuff.
Yeah.
And you've really gone in a direction that is like, for the geek in me, is sort of exciting because it's like, I want to see, cause I like you from Hunger Games and I want to see you in a movie like Five Nights or in a supporting role like this, that in Beekeeper, that's sort of wild and weird and evil. And you've really kind of, I think, surprised a lot of people. Do you feel that way too about sort of the things you've been choosing to do and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I think, my mom gets so mad at me when I say this. I'm not a goal-oriented person. Like I don't set goals, really. I kind of just go in a direction. And for me, like what's so cool about being an actor is getting to explore different characters and different worlds and different genres. And is there like a kind of an obvious path to take post Hunger Games? Yeah, there is, but I made a conscious choice to say no to a lot of things and not really just follow a predetermined thing that meant that you were going to get to this step and then that step. And then that was never something that was interesting to me. I was always driven more by wanting to do projects that were different and weird and cool. And did I maybe say no to some things that I should have said yes to? I'm sure. But at the same time, like I'm happy with where I am right now. And I'm excited, looking forward to the future. And, after the success of Freddy's and Beekeeper coming up and everything, I'm excited to see what comes next. And also to sort of step into more of the directorial and writing side of things as well. Is something that I'm really, really kind of, interested in pursuing too.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
That's really cool. The last thing I wanted to bring up to you is, like I said, I follow your career, but the other thing I follow is, gay Twitter, the ubiquitous gay Twitter, which is also Instagram, everything. And one of the things that I love about, and I did some sort of data research before I met with you, because I wanted to see sort of your metrics and how often people are searching for certain things about you. And gay Twitter is obsessed with you. There's the picture of you're licking your phone. That is the constant, that has become the go-to thirst response. I mean, I'm sure you've seen that. I'm sure you've seen that, right?
I remember seeing that photo. The truth is I live under a rock.
Yeah.
I have Twitter and I have Instagram, but I barely use it. Like I don't, that world to me has been any kind of Twitter, straight or gay or curious or whatever. Like I've never really, it's always been so intimidating to me to know that anyone anywhere can say anything about you that I just know that it's not good for my psyche to be involved. But I'm very happy to know that gay Twitter is having me be one of the memes for thirst. That makes my day.
You are one of the, you're not only the meme for thirst, you're also one of, and this is both terrifying and also hilarious. Now, I feel like we're friends. And so this is the second time we've chatted. So clearly we're friends now. You're one of the most AI generated thirst traps on the internet. And I need to show you, because I posted this a while ago and it went everywhere. There's someone did an AI picture of you as a thirst trap that went everywhere. And it was crazy. Can you see this?
So, look at that dream boat.
I know. That's what I'm saying. And
wow,
they went crazy for you. Look
Here's
at that.
The fun, look fun at fact, that. It's not AI. That's just me. That's a photo shoot that I did that I didn't know people were going to see.
It's insane. You're one of the most AI thirst trapped celebrities out there. It's you and the guy who played Superman. So there you go.
Well, you know, I don't know how to feel about it. I'm grateful that people can imagine me in many forms.
When I saw those images, and I saw the images right around when I was talking to your team about doing this interview, and I immediately was "Well, that's my first question.
That's funny.
That's my first thing I'm
showing."
That's
wild. Now. I mean, that stuff's crazy right now. Like where we're at in the world with AI and everything. We're in for a wild ride the next few years, I'm excited to see where it goes.
But even with what happened to your great grandma, I mean, and them using, even that AI, I mean, it's terrifying.
It's wild. And the fact that they can make me look that good, first of all, a little unfair because that sets a very high standard for me to try to live up to. But okay.
Well, you've been focusing on health.
I've heard. Yes. I'm doing all right. Not quite there, but you know. it's pretty wild.
Well, Josh, that's it. Thanks so much for taking the time. I have to say that's it because I feel like I've wasted all of that thirst energy on you this moment.
No. Yeah. Anytime.
But this has been fun. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Likewise. Absolutely. Great. We'll talk soon.
You know you were charmed. You just know you were. He is just so goddamn charming. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Whatever. Let me know what you thought of today's episode. I'm H. Allen Scott on everything. And leave a little rating and review wherever you're listening to this podcast. And for the latest news and podcasts, head to newsweek.com and follow Newsweek on all the social platforms. And while you're there, subscribe to my newsletter. This Friday on the podcast, I'll be doing like an award show catch-up sort of thing that's happening because we have the Oscar nominations and the Emmys coming out. Lots of stuff coming up. So subscribe to the newsletter, stick around on the podcast. Lots of great things to come. Until then, watch something fun and have a great day.